Imagine this. The pastor of a small church realizes that his church needs a fellowship hall. Several of his church members have communicated that need to him and are willing to give the church considerable sums to have the hall built. In his prayers, the pastor senses that God is encouraging him to build. But then he gets an idea. He thinks, why not build a gymnasium, which can serve as a fellowship hall on some days and a place for sports for youth to be played on others? A gymnasium would need about twice as much money and would be as twice as big as the church would need for a fellowship hall. In fact, maybe the money would need to be about four times as much. But the pastor is undeterred. He begins planting the seed of an idea of a gymnasium into the minds of church members. Some of the people who were enthusiastic about the fellowship hall are now not so sure about the gymnasium idea. They're trying to be supportive of their pastor, who is young and energetic, but they still have their doubts. The pastor senses this and prays about it. Now when the pastor prays, he feels nothing. There is no sense of encouragement, no sense that God is wanting the congregation to build. Be that as it may, the pastor goes forward. He assembles a committee to look into building the gymnasium. And immediately there are roadblocks. There are zoning concerns because of the height of the proposed building. The neighbors, when they hear of the plans, don't want a big building in the middle of their quiet and cozy neighborhood. And then it is discovered that there is a water main that cuts diagonally across the building site. That drives the cost of the building to an amount that would saddle the church with a whole lot of debt. The committee that the pastor had handpicked to be agreeable to this idea has decided to kill the project. The pastor is sad, angry, maybe even resentful. But thankfully, one of the lay leaders of the church reaches out to the pastor and asks him to help out with a prison ministry some of the area churches are trying to get together. The pastor agrees and quickly finds a new opening for his energy. He has a great sense of fulfillment in the work that he is doing, and soon he forgets all about the gymnasium and is excited once again about his ministry and the direction that it is going. 5 years later, the fellowship hall is built. The pastor, having learned some things, is involved in the effort, but knows better than to make the project more than it needs to be. He has learned to listen to God and to put his own ambitions aside. Our first reading for today speaks about the plans of kings and nations to break away from the control of King David. But the psalm indicates that while these kings plot to overthrow David's hold on them, God is laughing in derision. God himself has established the authority that David holds, and all the nations of the world cannot break away. In fact, they are even there for David's asking. God's admonition to the other kings is to be wise and respect the authority of the Lord, or else you will perish. This passage, in very threatening terms, explains that if you make plans to confound the will of God, be prepared for the consequences. You are liable to lose everything, maybe even your life. The second reading for today has the same idea, but in less dire terms. 6 days before the events of this reading take place, Jesus and his disciples have entered the district of Caesarea Philippi. Here, Jesus asks the question of his disciples, what the people think he is, or who the people think he is. And this produces various answers. Then Jesus asks the disciples themselves who the disciples think he is. Peter proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus affirms Peter's answer and then tells the disciples not to tell anybody about Jesus' identity. Now, 6 days later, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on a tall mountain. There, Jesus is transfigured before their eyes into a heavenly being. And then Moses and Elijah appear next to Jesus, and they're talking with each other. And this removes any doubt of Jesus' messiahship. It is then that Peter gets his big idea. He will build shrines to each of them on the mountain. It will be a sign to all people that Jesus is in fact the Messiah. People will come to the shrines, they'll see Jesus, they'll see Elijah, they'll see Moses, and then their eyes will be opened, they will pledge their allegiance to Jesus. Jesus will become the king that he is meant to be, deposing Herod, and then driving out the Roman occupiers. And then everything will be wonderful. God senses what Peter is up to and seeks to stop it quickly. He comes in a bright cloud, even as Peter is speaking to Jesus, and says in a booming voice, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The words affirming Jesus' sonship to God are the same as in the psalm. But now they are directed at Peter, who would use Jesus for his own plans rather than listening to what Jesus' plans are. The command, "Listen to him," sets things right, though. The disciples are cowed. Peter realizes that when he is dealing with godly things, he needs to let God in Jesus have control. The way he can do this is the way that God tells him, by listening to Jesus. Each of us have minds that can do wonderful things. We can solve problems and we can dream dreams. We can make for ourselves ambitious goals. And if we hope to achieve those goals, we must have a plan. Planning is good. A plan increases the possibility that a project will be completed and it will be done well. But we risk all of our planning coming to nothing if we do not pray to God about those plans. This is because we are not the only one in this world that has plans. God has plans, and he has plans for us. As the choir anthem said several weeks ago, God has work for us to do. So it is important to pray to God about his will for us. And once we have prayed, we must listen. We must listen to him, heed his direction, and let him take charge. If we do this, we will find ourselves in an enviable spot. We will get to help God. And we will get to be part of God's project committee. We will get to watch the will of God unfold in this world before our eyes. And the glory of God will become manifest in this world even as we are witnessing it. And then the only thing for us left to do is to say, Alleluia, Alleluia,